On April 26th, the Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in Amgen Inc. v. Sandoz Inc. and Sandoz Inc. v. Amgen Inc. These cases could significantly impact makers of biosimilars and branded biologic drugs and how these drugs are brought to market. Finnegan partners Jonathan Davies and Sonia Sukdawang join us now to tell us more about this historic case and provide a brief overview of the issues the Supreme Court is scheduled to consider. Jonathan, this case included a petition by Sandoz and a contingent cross-petition by Amgen. What issues will the Supreme Court hear this April?
In 2014, Amgen sued Sandoz in the Northern District of California, and the suit concerned Sandoz's attempts to secure FDA approval for its Zarxio product. Zarxio is a biosimilar to Amgen's marketed Neupogen product, and it was eventually approved in March of 2016 and is actually the first biosimilar product that was approved by the FDA. The Biologics Price Competition and Innovation Act, or BPCIA, that created the regulatory pathway for both the development and the marketing of biosimilar products, contemplates numerous disclosures between the biosimilar applicant and the branded biologic manufacturer, also referred to sometimes as the reference product sponsor. And so the petitions that were submitted by Amgen and Sandoz concerned two of these disclosure provisions. And for both of these provisions, the Supreme Court's decision is likely to hinge on the meaning of the word shall, which appears in both. So the first issue that was raised by Amgen that the court will take up is whether the BPCIA requires that a biosimilar applicant provide the reference product sponsor with a copy of its biologics license application and other related manufacturing information. In this particular case, Sandoz did not do that. And on appeal, the Fed Circuit held that Sandoz was, in fact, not required to provide that information to Amgen. In this case, a split majority of the court found that in the context of this provision, shall is permissive rather than mandatory. So that's the first issue. The second issue, which was raised by Sandoz, is whether the BPCIA requires a biosimilar applicant to wait until its biosimilar product actually is approved by the FDA before the biosimilar applicant provides what's known as a 180-day notice of commercial marketing to the reference product sponsor. In the present case, Sandoz provided this notice to Amgen well before Zarxio had been approved, and because of that, Amgen had argued that the notice was therefore ineffective and improper. And in contrast to the first issue, the Federal Circuit interpreted shall in the context of the second provision to be mandatory and held that a biosimilar applicant needed to wait until their biosimilar received FDA approval before providing this notice of commercial marketing.
And Jonathan, Sandoz's petition asked the Supreme Court to overturn the Federal Circuit's decision that a biosimilar applicant is required to wait until its biosimilar receives FDA approval before providing its notice of commercial marketing to the reference product sponsor, at least 180 days before marketing its biosimilar. Now, why is this an important issue for both sides?
This is important because, unlike in the context of small chemical pharmaceuticals, when a reference product sponsor brings suit against a biosimilar applicant, it does not initiate a stay of regulatory approval for the biosimilar product. So for the reference product sponsor, this marketing notice gives them time to seek an injunction to prevent the biosimilar applicant from launching its product. This notice also allows the reference product sponsor to assert additional patents that, for one reason or another, were not part of the original lawsuit that they filed against the biosimilar applicant. On the biosimilar side, this is an important issue because, from their viewpoint, being required to wait until the FDA actually approves their product before serving the notice creates an additional 180 days of exclusivity beyond when they could have otherwise launched their product. And under their viewpoint and under Sandoz's viewpoint in this case, that's improper and was not contemplated by the BPCIA.
Sonia, the other issue raised by Amgen is whether or not a biosimilar applicant needs to provide the reference product sponsor with a copy of its abbreviated Biologics License Application, or ABLA, and related manufacturing information. Tell us more about this argument.
This position really gets to the heart of the pre-litigation disclosure provisions in the BPCIA, in what's become known as the patent dance. And the question here is under Section 262L2 of the BPCIA, whether that word shall is construed as mandatory thereby requiring a biosimilar applicant to disclose its ABLA, or merely permissive, as the Federal Circuit held, giving the biosimilar applicant the option to not disclose the substance of his application, at least initially. And here, the Federal Circuit's decision is interesting in that Judges Lurie and Chen, who were in the majority, determined that despite that word shall, this provision was permissive because other sections of the BPCIA provided remedies to the reference product sponsor for noncompliance, and one of those included the ability to immediately sue for patent infringement. Now, Judge Newman, in dissent, argued that the Supreme Court had previously interpreted the term shall in other statutes and determined that shall was a mandatory type of language. And so here, it would be interesting to see which side the Supreme Court takes in this fight. And I would expect that the Supreme Court's decision, at least with respect to this issue, will be a classic exercise in statutory interpretation and legislative intent.
And finally, Sonia, what potential implications could the Supreme Court's decision have on the biologics and biosimilars industries?
Given the number of ABLAs filed or in the process of being filed and the significant amount of money involved with respect to biologics, I think the biosimilar industry is going to continue to move forward regardless of the outcome of these cases. The real implication here is going to be with respect to timing. When we will see litigation start, when we will see products hit the market. For instance, under the patent dance, the time from disclosure of the ABLA, if it was to be disclosed, to when a patent infringement suit could actually be filed is about 8 months. So if the Supreme Court reverses the Federal Circuit's decision regarding disclosure of the ABLA, we may see a much longer lead time before suits are filed, which will necessarily add more time before final resolution and perhaps ultimately getting those biosimilar products onto the market. And depending on the outcome, we may see additional creative interpretations of the BPCIA by other biosimilar applicants aimed at shortening the time from filing their application with the FDA till final resolution of the patent case.
Our guests have been Jonathan Davies and Sonia Sukduong, partners at Finnegan, one of the largest IP law firms in the world. For more commentary on intellectual property news and issues, to listen to other podcasts, and to receive additional information on the firm, please visit www.finnegan.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Finnegan.